after you left Amplifier, was making your own music what you immediately had in mind or wanted to do?
No, not at all. I kind of made an unconscious decision to stop playing. I had my bass guitar and my guitar collection was there, and I would see them every day, but just wouldn't pick them up. Didn't have any drive. I was left very cold. I was left very disillusioned about, not so much about the music business, but about people and my relationship with what music was. To be honest with you, music lost its meaning. Put 13 years into this one project, working with the same people, reaping certain rewards, never really fully understanding what it was that it meant to me. And that I only really fully understood what it meant when it was gone. And it took me a long time to realize that I needed to get it back.
What was it that made you say, okay, now it's time to start all over again?
I can actually remember where I was. I was in Spain on tour working for a band that I work for. And myself and one of my work colleagues, who is now a very, very good friend of mine, had a night out, and it was the night before my birthday. So it was November the 29th. And we went out and we had a few beers and we got chatting to some people when we were talking about everything. And somebody asked me the question, what do you do? And I said, I work for this band. So what do you do for them? Oh, I'm a guitar tech. Oh, really? Wow. So you have to play to be able to do that. And I said, yeah. She said, so you play guitar? And I said, yeah, I used to. And she said, what do you mean you used to? And I said, well, you know, I used to play bass guitar in a band for years, and then I stopped and I haven't really played since. And she said that she thought it was the most ridiculous thing that she'd ever heard. And the next day, I was thinking about that, and the next day was my birthday, and I just realised that maybe that's what's missing. And as soon as I started again, I realised I was absolutely right. That's what was missing from my life. Every single day, I used to pick up my bass guitar or pick up my guitar and make music. Every single day I was doing something musical, and then I just stopped. That week when it happened, that all of a sudden I wasn't in a band anymore. I had no reason to make music. And as soon as I started again, my whole outlook changed again.
Things, or was it just like, okay, I'll just make this music for myself first and then think of whether I want to put it out or not?
The first song that I wrote from start to finish, I actually wrote for my mother. I wrote it because I wanted to express some things that I couldn't express without doing it through music. So that's the first time that I actually wrote a song from start to finish in that way. Before that, it was just like, you know, just pick up the guitar and come up with, you know, maybe come up with a lyric or come up with a chord structure or something like that. It can be quite a cathartic process, you know, just writing something down, writing down the way you feel about something, and then making it rhyme and making it scan and making it so you can sing it. It can make your idea more easy for yourself to understand. It can make your feelings, you know, this working through lyrics all the time, you can suddenly realize that you thought things differently to the way that you were presenting them to other people. You realize what your opinions are by writing about them. I guess even the way you do in a conversation, you know, when you're just sitting talking to somebody, and quite often you'll say, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But the more you talk about it, the more you realise that you actually do know how you feel about it. You've just never presented it in that way.
And that's how songs work for you too?
sometimes you start writing about something and you realize that it's actually about something else. There's a song on this EP that's called Sides, and for ages I thought I was writing about a relationship that I was in at the time, and it's only when I started really paying attention to what the lyrics were, I realized that the song is about my mum, and the song is about an imagined conversation that I could never have with her. Conversation that I would never ever be able to get her side of the story. So I just imagined what it probably was.
Why, if I may ask?
Because she had Alzheimer's disease and she was unable to express herself. So I would sit and look at her and see that there were things going on, that she was having thought processes, but she just couldn't express them.
Like a barrier between you and her?
It was exactly a barrier. So the song was written, and I realized afterwards that the song was written about an imagined conversation between me and her, in which she was actually able to say the things that she was thinking, and more importantly, I was actually able to understand them. I don't need us to talk. Talk never fixed anything. I would rather just walk away from the news that they bring. It was never a fault that I ever thought you could have. Always making me cry when all I need is to laugh.
When did you make the decision that it's going to be a four-track EP and not an album or just one song?
It was actually going to be a five-track thing, and then I was considering making it into an album. I wrote another song, then I wrote another song after that, and I thought, okay, right, so I've almost got a full record here. And then I had a computer disaster, and I lost a huge amount of files. Something went horribly wrong, and I lost a lot of the things that are recorded, and I lost one entire track, lost the whole thing, lost everything. It teaches you the lesson about backing things up, because I hadn't backed up properly. So that meant that I had four tracks that I was, you know, getting ready for completion, and I was still writing more music, but I wasn't in a position to be able to record them to the level of quality that I'd done the previous tracks. So I just decided, okay, well, four-track EP is pretty cool. Some of the songs are quite long, so it's still like nearly 25 minutes of music. And I just thought, okay, the most important thing is that I can get it out there as soon as possible, because I had started telling people about it. I had started saying, look, I've got this project. It's called Mahoney. It's kind of named after myself, but not completely named after myself, and I just wanted to get it out there. I'd kind of gotten bored with doing the finishing off, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the beginning process is really exciting because you're starting from scratch and you're building right the way up. The last bit of kind of fixing and just like making sure that vocal's okay, making sure that little guitar part's all right, can get quite tedious. So I just wanted to be shot of it and just have it done and move on to the next tracks.
Final push to get it done, to go, right, I'm going to finish this. Was it yourself or other people or both?
It was partly people who had heard the tracks. Yourself, for example, had heard the tracks and said, look, these are great. You need to do it. You absolutely need to do it. Like, I naturally worried about comparisons with, you know, my previous band. And I was obviously concerned about the fact that this is all me. It's all my work. You know, I've written all the songs. I've played almost everything on them. I've done all the production myself. I've done all the recording myself. It's all on my shoulders. So if somebody doesn't like it, I can't blame anybody else. It's just me. It's all just me. So there was this, there was two things. I was nervous, this nervous energy of going, okay, right, number one, I want people to hear this. Number two, I really don't want people to not like it because I put so much effort into it. And if it turns out that people don't get turned on by it the way I did, then that would be so hard for me to deal with. But I realised that that's what I need to do.
What I liked about it also is it doesn't sound very much like Amplifier.
No.
Which I enjoyed because I thought if you had done the same as you did with Amplifier, it would have been really boring. Was that an intention? Or was that like something that, you know, happened inside you?
No, no, it wasn't an intention. I knew that that the music was going to be riff-based. I knew that, like, almost every, in fact, of the four songs that are there, they've all got big riffs in them. I knew that was going to happen because that's what I did in Amplifier. Like, interestingly enough, when I was no longer in the band, a lot of people got in touch with me and said, hey, look, the first thing we want to know is, why are you no longer in the band? You know, we were told that you left. The other thing that people were saying was, we heard Amplifier's new record. It doesn't have any riffs on it. Why is that? And I was like, well, work it out for yourself.
Heaven Knows, or at least that's the working title of it. I love the oriental part about it. Why isn't that on the EP?
At the time I came to recording it, it wasn't finished. I crucially didn't have one line. I didn't have the line that said, there was the line that says Heaven Knows, and then there's the next bit, and I just didn't have it. I got some input from a very good friend of mine, a guy called Charlie Barnes. And I told him what the song was about, and he said that he had a song that was written about a very similar thing. So Charlie came up with a line for me, and it didn't quite work, but it gave me the line that I needed. But by that stage, I had already started the recording process. I had already got the drums and the bass down, so I wasn't going to go back to the studio again. But it'll be on the next one.
Because, I mean, you weren't a singer in Amplifier.
I was a singer in my very first band. The very first band I was in, I was the singer. And the very first band that I started, I was a singer and a guitar player. But that was when I was young and I was entirely Irish. I moved to Manchester, lived there for 20 years. And my accent changed, my voice changed.
It still sounds very Irish to me.
Well, it does. But my vowel sounds had changed a little. And that means that when you're singing certain words, you find yourself a little bit uncomfortable. Also, in Amplifier, I was doing backing vocals, and when you're doing backing vocals, the idea is that you need to fit your vowel sounds and the way you pronounce words the way the singer does. So Balamir is from London, so I was singing words in the same shape that he would sing them. So when it came to, it's actually interesting that you mentioned one of the songs that has the opening line is, "This time we're going to make it." I sang that like 100 times, trying to work out, how do I say time? So when I'm singing this song, I'm singing it over and over and over again, trying to find my voice. So it was actually quite like an experiment. This time we're gonna make it, just like no time ever before this. This is the one that matters. This is the one that matters. This is all I want.
someday? Are you planning to present this stuff to us at some point?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, it would have to be... I would have to play guitar and bass, and I would have to sing as well. So I would need to get a band of people who will play a few different instruments. But if I find the guys or girls that are into it and want to do it and can do it, then yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.